That's Mark chapter number 4. And it's awesome to serve in ministry, but you can have fun while you serve in ministry. That's what I love about it. Mark chapter number 4. And we're going to look at a few verses this evening. Mark chapter number 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number 35. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. I'm going to start reading. The Bible says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." Verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In the Christian life, we can trust God even though it may seem impossible. We know that the Bible does say that with man things are possible, but with man things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. We know that the Bible says that, but many times we doubt based on our situation or our circumstance. It's not for lack of knowing that God can work in the impossible. I mean, we read passages and stories of how God did miracles, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know that God can do miracles. So why is it that we doubt that God can do a great work today in our church, in our homes, but also in our lives? And, you know, I think that the disciples felt the same way. We're going to look at some context for a little bit. This is very early in the book of Mark, but the disciples, you might say, they were fresh. I mean, they had just been appointed by God to be his disciples, the 12 of them, and they had gone into the synagogue. God had gone against the Pharisees, some opposition there. They saw God do miracles, but they didn't truly realize who God was. They saw God work. They saw him heal people. They just saw him preach to multitudes. But ultimately, they still had fear. And how could they forget all that God had done? Well, it was because of fear. You see, fear is the enemy of faith. Many of you, if you remember the skits that we did with our interns, DJ and Tim, the purpose of it was to teach a theme of the battle of fear versus faith. And we notice through those skits that, you know, there are times that we doubt. There are times that we fear. But fear is not bigger than God. Our faith in God is stronger than any circumstance that we may have going on. But what are some examples of fear stopping people in their tracks? Well, the children of Israel, they did not enter the promised land because of fear. When Samuel approached King Saul and asked him, you know, why did he do this? Why did he directly go against God's word when he told them to wipe out their enemy? What did he say? He said, "I feared the people and I obeyed their voice." You see, fear paralyzes. I'm sure many of us know people, you know, who they say talk a big game or act like they're not afraid, but there's always something that someone is afraid of. I'll never forget when I was about 15 years old, for Christmas in Nigeria, the church gave us 2 chickens. Now, we were excited because these were live chickens. Now, as we drove home, my dad said, "Listen, guys, you know what this chicken is going to end up? It's not going to be a pet for very long. These chickens will be eaten at some point." They still named the chickens. My sister still named the chickens. But they knew the chickens had a fate. And I'll never forget my brothers, who were about 9 and 10 at the time. They said, "Hey, Dad, can we help you kill those chickens?" And he said, "Sure. You know, the more the merrier. You guys need to learn how to kill a chicken." So I'll never forget when my dad got out the knife, when he got all the tools. Oh, my brothers, they were saying, "I'm going to kill this chicken, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." Then the time came to kill the chickens. We went outside, and I'll never forget when my dad told my brothers to go get the chicken. The chickens ran that way, my brothers ran that way. So they did not want any part of killing a chicken. Now, I know that's a funny example, but we can all agree this evening that there's something that we are afraid of. I think Pastor Noah mentioned bugs a few weeks ago. For me, my fear is snakes. I hate snakes. But the point is, we all are afraid of something. Now, many of you may not be afraid of chickens or snakes this evening, but there are other things that you may be worried about. You know, the fear could be fear of finances, could be work, sickness. It could be moving away. Kids, it could be starting a new school year, new subjects, new friends. There are all sorts of things that we can be worried about. And the question I want to ask you this evening is, are you sitting here wondering if God can help you overcome your fear? Or it may not even be a fear. Maybe you need God to break through with your situation this evening. Maybe you're waiting for God to perform a miracle in your life. And maybe you are doubting that he can do the impossible. Well, we're going to look at this story, and I want us to notice three observations of how, even though there was fear, faith in God overcame their fear. First of all, look what it says in verse number 37. He answered and said, I'm sorry, I'm not the right passage, Mark 4, verse number 37. The Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." In this passage, I see that they had a fear of circumstance. You see, this storm, it wasn't that the disciples were making it up. They weren't exaggerating it. This storm on the sea was real, and they were afraid of it. Now, if you know anything about the disciples, the majority of them, they were fishermen. They knew what it meant to go out into the sea. They knew what it meant to fish. They knew how to handle a boat. I'm sure they had seen different storms throughout their lifetime. But for some reason, this storm struck fear into their lives. And this circumstance caused them to fear. It caused them to forget who was in the boat with them. Many of us think that our circumstances are bigger than God. And it's not for lack of miracles. We've seen God do miracles. We've seen him provide for families. We've seen God provide in your own life. But because of a fear, it caused them to forget all of that. Think about all that the children of Israel saw, how God provided them for them in the wilderness, how God gave them victory over their enemies. But they fell into the same lie based on their circumstances. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 46:10 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." God is our help. He is our strength. He is our rock. No matter what circumstances is going on in your life, God is bigger. David also said in Psalms 121 that his help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It was awesome worshiping this morning in the song, "Jesus Christ, Our Living Hope." He's not only our hope, but he's alive this evening. He's alive and he's here and he's ready to help if you ask. We also hope for a lot of things, don't we? The question I have is, where is your hope during a tough circumstance? Down the road, you know the story of Peter, how that they were in a boat and they saw Jesus walking on water, and he got out of the boat and he was walking on water. And he knew who Jesus was because he called out to him. He said, "If it's you, let me walk in water." And Peter was doing it. But what did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus and saw the winds and the waves, and then he began to sink. It happened to Peter. We shouldn't think that it won't happen to us. The disciples did all that they could to fight the storm on their own. They were scared because of their circumstance. But there was another fear that I noticed that they had. Look what it says in verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Not only were they afraid of those circumstances, they had a fear of abandonment. They were afraid that Jesus didn't even care. How could they think that? That the creator of the world, the one who called them, who went into their lives and picked them for a special reason, a special purpose. They were so scared to the point that they believed that the creator of the storm, the creator of everything, of all creation, did not care. Well, that is a lie that Satan tries to get us to believe. When we have a burden or a prayer request that we ask God and he doesn't answer, all of a sudden we go from, God, why is this happening? To God, do you even care? I don't know what burden or situation you're in, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus does care. He loves you. Fear can cripple us to the point that we not only believe that our circumstances are bigger, but also if God even cares. You can rest in the fact that he does care for you. And this isn't just a problem that the disciples are going through. You may think, oh, you know, they just met God, you know, they're still a bit scared. Let's talk about Elijah. All the miracles that God was able to do through him, and he ran away and thought he was the only one. Elijah thought that no one cared. Paul was suffering in prison for serving God. But in 2 Timothy 4:17 through 18, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may say, oh man, that's great for Elijah. Oh, that's, you know, it's Paul, of course. Why wouldn't God be with him? Do you know what God has promised you this evening? Matthew 6, 30 to 33. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, this is what he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The disciples did all they could to fight the storm in their strength. They did all they could to deal with it on their own. But it wasn't until they sought after Christ, it wasn't until they went to him that something happened. He cares for you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to doubt. He cares for you. I'll never forget my sophomore year of Bible college. Exams were coming up, and I wasn't able to pay that installment right before the test was coming up. And the way it works is if your installment is paid for, you go to the office, they give you a card, and you show that card to the teacher so they give you the exam. I'll never forget, I was sitting in the class, and I remember praying, like, God, I have no idea how I'm going to take this exam. I can't. This was during the COVID year. I didn't have a job at that time. I was like, God, I don't know. I know you want me here for a reason. I just don't know how I'm going to pay. I'll never forget this. I get a phone call from one of the professors at the school who is tied with the finances. And they said, hey, Ben, I don't know who did it. I don't know how it happened, but someone anonymously paid your installment so that you could take the exam. Amen. You know what that showed me? That showed me that not only does God want me here, but God cares for me. He cares for me even when I was in that classroom. He cares for me even though I had no idea what was going to happen. I was looking at my circumstance like, God, I'm having an issue with this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And many times that's exactly what God wants you or I. He wants us to get to the point that, you know, we can't control on our strengths. We can't control with, we can't do with our talents. Many times he wants us to wait until we say, God, there's nothing I can do. Doesn't matter my experience, how much I've tried to do this, I need you. If you look back and see what God has you today, where he's brought you from, your story, you can clearly see that God cares for you. One of my mom's favorite songs, one of her favorite choruses goes like this. There's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far Jesus has brought me, and there's no need to doubt him now. See, the disciples are going to learn this lesson. They are going to see that Jesus does care for them. If we look to God in faith rather than fear, we will understand that we can have a specific type of faith. They had a fear of circumstance. They looked at the storms and the winds around them. There was nothing that they can do. And that turned into a fear of abandonment. They didn't think that God cared for them. But then Jesus taught them something. Look what it says in verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The disciples had all that fear, but Jesus introduced to them a faith that calms. You see, Jesus calmed the storm. What seemed impossible to the disciples was possible with God. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of circumstance, God showed that he was still on the throne and that he was still in control. As I said, I'm sure the disciples tried everything that they were taught. I'm sure they tried every life or safety procedures of how to be safe, but there was nothing that they could do. They had to turn to God. Can I tell you this evening that there's no storm too strong, no situation too impossible, no bill too much, no sickness that's too severe, no family member that's too far away. There was nothing that God cannot do, which is why faith in an all-powerful God can combat any fear that you may have. The faith that calms does not ignore the storm, but it recognizes who was in control. Is your fear stronger than your faith this evening? I know that when we had the skit, it was tailored to different characters, but the whole theme of it was each character had fear that they personally struggled with. And they had to learn that it did not matter which type of fear, which type of doubt, overthinking, none of that mattered. What mattered was faith in an all-powerful God. At first, the storm seemed impossible, but once the disciples understood who was with them, then the impossible became possible. So you see, I have an object lesson down here, and I'm going to need someone to help me. Noah, come on up. Come on up, Noah. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look in here, shake it, and tell everyone what's in it.
Coins.
Coins. It's a lot of coins in here. Okay, go ahead and stand right here so everyone can see. So, this is a piece of paper, and this is going to represent you or I, you know, daily life, whatever it may be. This is us. Okay, go ahead and set that there. Okay, now, I'm going to give you a few coins. Okay, I want you to hold that. Now, let's say the coins in Noah's hands represents whatever in life, whatever happens, whether good or bad, you know. Both happened in each day, in each week. So go ahead and put those coins in the middle. What happens?
It falls.
It falls, right? You know, many times we think that we can do all sorts of things in our strength. We think that, you know what, this bill, I'll get it taken care of. Oh, this sickness, you know, I'm in control of it. Oh, man, you know what? I think I can rely on my strength, right? Many times that's what we think. We think, oh, my experience will allow me to get through this. Oh, you know what? The advice that I was given will help me get through this. But ultimately, every time we go through situations, we realize there's nothing that we can do. Something has to change. Something has to be different from our day-to-day, okay? Hang on to this, okay? If we take this and change it a little bit, you know? We rely on God. You know, we wake up in the morning. We ask God for strength. We ask God to provide. We say, you know what, God? The fear that I have right now, this fear of what I'm going through, this sickness, I've tried everything I can. I've tried all the medicines. I've tried everything. God, I need you to break through. All of a sudden, when we trust in God instead of ourselves, and situations come, we stand strong. But you know what? It's not just a few things. Sometimes it's a lot of things. Sometimes things may come up, school, children going through things, things that you could have never imagined. I don't know. But ultimately, we realize that if we put our eyes on God and not our circumstance, if we rely truly on who God is and his character and what he's done for us in the past, but also what he can do for us in the future, then we realize that there's no situation that's too strong for him to overcome. Thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. Let's give Noah a hand for a moment. Yes. If you are saved this evening, you are already trusting in God for your eternity. Why not trust him for your daily life? It may seem impossible to you, but you serve a God who specializes in the impossible. You see, the disciples tried everything that they knew, but they forgot that God had a way. Even though the disciples, they knew God, they still didn't realize who he was. Remember the timeline. He just picked them. They saw God do some miracles. But look what it says in verse 40 and 41 of Mark chapter 4. After he calms the storm, verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know what I was thinking this afternoon? I was thinking, what if the disciples knew who God was? How quickly would they have gone to him when the storm started? And I wonder this evening that if we know God, if we trust in him, we won't wait till the situation gets almost too impossible before we turn to God. He won't be just our final option, our last option. He'll be our first priority. If we realize that, you know what? If we are going to have faith over fear, you need to trust and realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Trust the one who is with you and in your boat. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Let's have a time of invitation. As I said, I'm not sure what you're going through this evening. I'm sure those many burdens, trials, testing, whatever it may be. But trust the one who was with you. Trust the one who has been faithful to you from the very beginning. You can look back and see how God has blessed your family, how God has blessed your life, and how he has provided for you and come through for you time and time again. There's nothing too hard for God. Let's have a time of prayer. The altar is open. If you would like to come and pray, you can pray at your seat. But take time to pray to God and trust in him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message of your word this evening. Father, so many times I'm guilty of looking at my circumstance, what's going on around me, rather than putting my trust and relying on you. I pray that each and every one of us would realize that you've been so faithful and so good to us in the past. We can trust you for our present and for our future. I pray that we would live a life that is holy, dependent, trusting in you. I thank you for all you've done and what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.